Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, he's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Hey there, all you rebels of the Sherpalution. It's me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa, with another wonderful week of Too Many Podcasts. Hey, got a silly question for you. Well, maybe not too silly. Are you hungry? You're probably sitting at your desk right now, maybe driving in your car, or maybe you've got this on the speaker through your Alexa speakers. Well, are you hungry for some chocolate? Are you hungry to win some chocolate? It's time to remind you of the Too Many Podcasts Perfection Chocolates. There will be chocolate giveaway. That's right. All you need to do is go on Instagram. If you've got an Instagram account, fantastic. You're already in the right place. Here's what you do. Listen to the show. You're doing that already, right? Okay. Step one, check. So make a screenshot of my little logo, you know, the one with the mountains, and it says Too Many Podcasts. And what you want to do is go on Instagram, and you want to tag the show, and our handle is at Too Many Podcasts, with the number two, not the word T-O-O. And you also want to tag at Chocolate Johnny and at Perfection Chocolates. And finally, you want to tag a friend because, you know, you might want that chocolate to be shared with somebody, right? And, you know, you got a special friend who likes chocolates. That's always a good plus for you guys. So anyway, if you do that, you can win $30 worth of specialty chocolate courtesy of Perfection Chocolates in Sydney, Australia. Have you ever eaten Australian chocolates? I'll bet you it's delicious. I've been hearing on the news that the powers that be are working to ban the spam phone calls, you know, the ones that you get on your cell phone and it looks like it's a local call, but it's not, or all these people telling you about your student loan or car warranties or whatever other garbage that they're trying to sell you. Well, that's great when they get rid of that, but they can't get rid of me telling you it's a theme week.
It's theme week. It's theme week. It's theme week.
This week's theme, you may ask? You did ask, right? I thought I heard something. It was you asking. Okay, but I'll tell you. This week's theme is invention, and I've got just the guest with the right podcast and the right stories who'll help us. So if you've been thinking about inventing something, this is the podcast you want to listen to. His podcast has been called a go-to guide for the budding inventor. Really, I didn't make that up. That's what it really says there. But before we meet today's guest, let me put on my radio voice for a second.
Hey there, guys and gals. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/Sherpa. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hey, audible.com, thank you very much.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
Bruce, I'm so glad you asked. Our guest today is the host of Invention Stories, and his name is Robert Baer. Let's head on down to the conference room. This is six words that we've all probably said at some point in our lives. Why didn't I think of that, right? I'm sure you probably see these ads on TV when someone's got this great new product. Oh, why didn't I think of that? Infomercials, we see Shark Tank on TV, and people with simple ideas, and we just say, why didn't I think of that? So keep that thought in your mind while I talk to today's guest, because he gets to interview people who thought of that. And the name of his podcast is Invention Stories. So let's say a nice Sherpa welcome to Mr. Robert Baer. Welcome to the podcast, Robert.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be here.
Great to have you. Why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name is Robert Baer. I'm the host of the Invention Stories podcast, and I'm the owner of InventionStories.com. I've been interviewing inventors for about 10 years. I've interviewed about 400 of them, and just excited to be on your show.
That's great. Now, did you ever become an inventor? Did you ever have any inventions yourself?
Oh, yeah. I'm a failed inventor, and so I did. I had a pair of glasses. I always wondered why you couldn't just take the arms off the glasses. So I just decided to try, and I developed a system so that the arms were removable. And then I did a background check and found out there were four others out there, and two of them were better than mine. And I was like, well, why aren't these on the market? So I read The Inventor's Bible by Ron Dosey, and I found out that 98% of inventors are failures. They don't even make their money back. And as a finance guy and with a background in finance and understanding numbers and odds, that's a 1 in 50. That's pretty terrible odds. So I thought to increase my odds, what I would do is try to really understand the invention process from beginning to end. And what better way to do that than to read or learn about the invention stories from inventors.
Right. Did you notice, you said you've spoken to over 400 inventors. Mm-hmm. Did you kind of see a common thread when you spoke to them, like certain characteristics that they had as inventors?
I think the only real shared characteristic is that they have courage to act on their idea. You know, the world's full of dreamers, and you work with guys if you have a crummy job like I used to have, and they're excuse makers and they're whiners and they put you down when you want to have a dream. And these guys, the common thread, they all have the courage to act on their dream. The inventors, I mean, they're not just Doc Brown from Back to the Future. They're your next door neighbor. You're super bright guys. They're older women, they're young girls, every different background all over the world.
Did you have any special favorite guests on your show?
Well, I think there are special guests that really, I think there are some that were really special because of their story and who they are. Like, for example, I always use Russi Coy Jones. She has both Parkinson's disease and she has cancer. And when you listen to her story, she actually invented her Relia-Lite because she was taking care of her father who had COPD. And I'm like, wow. Okay, first of all, if I have cancer or if I have Parkinson's disease, I'd probably be giving up on life I don't know what I'd be doing, but I wouldn't be just continuing. And so if you're an excuse maker, if you're somebody, needs inspiration, listen to episode 73 with Russi Coy Jones.
Yeah. So she, I guess she knew how to take a bad situation and improve on that.
I was going
to
say, yeah, usually that's, people have this experience and it's that experience, out of that experience, they get their aha moment. I mean, some people just have it while looking at something or taking a shower or driving, but other people, I needed to find something. So either I created a rough prototype to make that work or whatever it is, but it all comes from a lot of different ways, almost like no two are alike. But if you're talking about actual inventions that I love, boy, I can tell you, I've interviewed some that I absolutely love.
You want to talk about a few of them?
Well, let me start with the first one. The eSight Readers, episode 50. He invented, his sisters are both legally blind. That means legally they can't read the E on the top of the our eye chart.
Okay.
Well, he's super brilliant. He's from Canada, and he uses augmented and virtual reality to create some glasses that allow most people who are legally blind to see. So you put them on, and for like somebody who's never seen in their life, they can see for the first time. And blindness has been around since the beginning of time. And I know that if I have blindness, whether I've had it before, I would give anything to be able to see. I mean, how would you like to die and go to heaven? And God says, what have you done with your time on earth? Well, God, I created these eSight readers. I mean, you're getting like the best seat at the table. everybody has an obstacle. It's either that they have an obstacle or they overcome, or they've created something that is really awesome. I tell you what, I can even jump around a little bit. I'll tell you the two inventors I see out there that I want to either use or buy in my lifetime, and they both deal with flying. There's this guy named Frankie Zapata. And you see him, he's got the real hoverboard that flies. And he's flying right now over the English Channel. He didn't make it the first time, but he's trying a second time. And so literally, it's like a hoverboard. You stand in it, and you can fly. Who hasn't dreamt of flying? I've been dreaming of flying since I was a little kid. And then there's another one, Richard. I can't think of his last name, but he's with Gravity. I don't want to mess up his, I think it's Browning. Richard Browning of gravity.co. And he's got a suit. And the suits each have rockets in their hands. And he's got like three other rockets on his body on the suit. And he can literally fly around in the air with that as well. Now, whether I'm on the real hoverboard or I'm in a flying suit, I want to fly. And I get it that airspace is like, you know, controlled by the FAA. But I'll tell you what, if I'm the first one, I mean, I'm volunteering. I will fly up right down Hollywood Boulevard with everybody with their cameras taking pictures of me. I'll take the ticket. I'll go to jail. But I just want to fly.
I don't blame you. You're probably not alone with that thought.
I don't think so.
So because you've talked to so many, you know, and we see these ads online and on TV, the, do you have an invention? You know, come with us. Not a good idea, right?
Terrible idea.
Terrible. Horrible.
Yeah, I'm not going to name names, but, you know, you've got to do your research. Go into any kind of, Facebook group and ask around. No, these people are terrible. There's people and company out there ripping off the inventors every day, and nothing ever happens to them. They're just absolute con men, and it's disgusting. It truly is, you know, because here's how I see the inventor. The inventor, forget the American dream. The inventor is like the world dreamer, and we're all the same everywhere. We have a dream. We have an idea, and rather than work at a crummy job that we don't like, or maybe we can't even find a job, we're kind of trying to create our own life, you know, doing something that we can sink our teeth into every single day. And so with the odds stacked against you, with a 98% failure rate as a rule, in addition to, you know, you being able to fail, you've got these con men who just soak inventors. And I've heard story after story in a lot of different ways. And yes, there are these big invention marketing companies that are ripping them off, but there are also some lawyers that do it. I mean, I interviewed Jessica Haynes with a socket saver. I love the socket saver. The socket saver is if you have loose wall sockets, you can put your socket in. Mm-hmm. And so if you have an old house, your plugs don't fall out. It's brilliant. I've used them. And, she had somebody kept telling them, just, we need a little bit more money. We're still waiting. She spent over $20,000, never got anything. And I hear story after story of these marketing companies that you see on TV that just absolutely hold the inventors hostage. And it's disgusting. It's terrible. Nothing ever happens to them either. You know, maybe they'll get like a, they'll get a slap on the wrist or whatever, but it continues. I'll tell you the one that I did like the most is Josh Malone, Bunch of Balloons. Have you seen Bunch of Balloons? They're everywhere now, and he's becoming really rich. Well, I interviewed him on episode 79, and he created a device that you essentially can blow up like, well, up to 100 balloons at once, water balloons. I mean, it's like brilliant. Everywhere I go, I see him. I see him at Walmart, Costco, and whatever. They're everywhere now, but he had some company that ripped off his idea. I mean, he had the patents for it, and he had to fight him in court. And they've got some system with the court with a patent office. It's called the PTAB, and the PTAB is essentially short for, you know, how to screw the inventor out of his patent. You can just if you don't like a patent, you can challenge it. And so if you can find a little flaw into the patent, they can just take away your patent. And that's what these big corporations do. I mean, these big corporations like Google and Facebook, they're not your friend. They're not the inventor's friend. Anybody who's massive is not your friend. Don't kid yourself. And that's why lately I've been really kind of more interested in the licensing route. I think, You know, because let's say you have a patent and somebody infringes on your patent, they copy your idea. What are you going to do about it? You got the deep pockets to fight them in court?
I guess a lot of people, especially the big companies, they have like the intellectual property departments where they have a bunch of lawyers who can basically say, well, you know, this is our creation and, you know, you're infringing on that. And can a lot of inventors really do that? Or that's more money out of pocket.
It's more money out of your pocket. I mean, that's first of all, you have to, and you can do it. You can write your own patent yourself, but once it's issued, yeah, if somebody infringes on it and, you know, they do it all the time with things that are successful. You know, if you want, you can send a cease and desist order to them. And sometimes that works, but other times it doesn't. But really, unless you're willing to spend a couple hundred thousand dollars in legal fees, you know, you're going to lose. And if you're, you know, fighting some big corporation, you know, they got deep pockets to string you along until you, till they're done selling whatever it is of yours. So I kind of like the first to market strategy. You got something, bypass the patent process, just build it, manufacture it, you know, produce it, whatever, get it out there in the market and sell it. Or I believe in licensing it. If you have an idea, get yourself a provisional license, about $100-$150. You write it up. It's good for 1 year. Shop it around to the potential licensors and see if you can make a deal. If you can't get a deal within 1 year, you're probably wasn't that good of an idea, at least for them. Or maybe you were not very good at convincing them.
So who are the people that you should be dealing with if you were trying to sell your invention?
Well, it depends on who's going to, who's interested in, who does something similar. I mean, actually, that's the first question that you should ask, depending on what your idea is.
Okay.
Now, I interviewed a gentleman named Alan Beckley on the last episode, 87, and he actually invented the Wonder Wallet. He not only manufactured and produced the Wonder Wallet, but he also put it on QVC, Home Shopping Network. He sold lots of it, but he ended up licensing it to a big company, and they ended up selling $30 million in wallets. And he got a little commission off that. He didn't get super rich, but he developed a system where, like, it's for less than $500. He kind of gives you an overview. He conducts a free webinar every Thursday, and you can go to alanbeckley.com/licensing. And essentially, he gives a real overview of what the process is like. And then if you want to, he'll even answer your questions at the end of it. I've gone twice. And then, you know, if you want to buy his system, you can purchase his system. And it goes even more into detail to help if you're really serious about doing it. Because what I've seen so far, I've seen there's a book called One Simple Idea by Stephen Key, and you can buy it or check it out of the library. It's like $20, and every wannabe inventor's read it. It's really a great, you know, it gives you everything you really need, but it's not as focused as perhaps what his is. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you have like InventRight, which seems to have a lot of successes, but you're costing, it's costing quite a bit more. So,
anyway. Okay. So let's say I was a budding inventor and I came up with something. What do you think are some of the things that I should have before I even want to start launching my product?
Well, I know that you have a shameless self-promotion segment, but the first thing I'd do is I would listen to the Invention Stories podcast. I got to get it in here early, but there's, for example, Forbes Riley. Forbes Riley sold over $2 billion worth of goods. You might know Forbes Riley from infomercials. She's done the spin gym. And she was actually the first person that I interviewed. And she's super successful. I was so scared when I was interviewing her because it was my first, you know, like, I hope this thing's working. But she goes over and like, I mean, it's kind of a long podcast episode. It's like 50 minutes, but she goes in all the details of like what you're thinking about. Cause if you're thinking about being an inventor and you don't know anything about the process, well, that's like looking at a car and saying, you know what? I think I could fix this car. Cause I've seen cars before, man. There's a whole lot. And I took that from her example. You know, there's a whole lot more than meets the eye. Usually the idea is actually the most the easiest part of the entire process. I have people all the time tell me, I've got this idea and I'll give you a half if you do it with me. If I had a dime every time I heard that, I'd have a lot of dimes.
So you can't really go in it blindly. Then you really got to do your homework before you even start promoting then, right?
Well, I would begin with the end in mind, you know, like, let's say you've got a something for, I don't know, that would be perfect for an automobile. Well, okay, who's ultimately, where do you want to sell it? Who do you think could manufacture it? And you can talk to them in general terms. These people, you know, these companies are happy to talk to inventors and feel them out. Say, hey, what is exactly you need from me before I can consider that you'll even give me the time? And a lot of these things, you can actually just link in with people on LinkedIn, see who's, you know, who's the person you need to talk to, and just say, look, I'm an inventor and I've got this product. I don't want to go into details, but you know, what's your process? And yeah, I mean, if it's something that you think is going to be in a, you know, just whatever the end in mind, wherever you think it's going to sell, talk to them first.
Okay.
And talk to the employees. Like if it's a toy, go talk to some toy store owners and say, look, you know, I got this idea for this, but maybe if that's a bad idea, what really does sell, or some, give me some other things to consider. You know, there's lots of great books to read. There's lots of videos you can watch. But like I said, I think the best place to start is with, you know, the Invention Stories podcast.
Why not?
Well, because my goal is always to have, like what you're doing is you have a wide arrangement of people who've invented all kinds of things. And hopefully somebody who's got an idea has one that's very similar to what that person's done. And so that person, when I'm asking them, I'm saying, hey, what was a good use of your time? What was a bad use of your time? What was the biggest obstacle? These all give you things to think about. I mean, if there's one thing that you want to be sure of initially, is to have more money than you think you could possibly ever need to bring it to the market, because it probably won't be enough.
Wow. So what do you think it attributes to the high failure rate for inventors?
Oh, that's one of the easier questions that I think that you can ask. And that's because you have to be at least proficient, if not an expert, at wearing a lot of different hats. You know, if I talked to one guy and he was actually one of the people who made the glasses that took, where the arms were removable. And I contacted him and he said, call me. And I said, well, what happened? And he said, well, my brother-in-law became a Coke addict. You know, he just took all them. They were a partnership and it didn't work because he took all the money and tooted it, you know. And so there's a lot of different reasons. Sometimes your skill set's not in sales. You know, it breaks people's hearts to hear no. And sometimes you get three or four no's, but that could be it. Sometimes one, or, you know, there's just a lot of different areas where it can go wrong. You know, one of the things that I always worry about, and I would worry about if I were an inventor, is to invent something that's going to be obsolete. I mean, just absolutely bypassed. You know?
Absolutely.
I was looking at this guy. He's like, you know, I have this tin for its tobacco tin. And I'm like, tobacco tin? I'm in California. First of all, I don't even see anybody smoking cigarettes here. You know, and if I, you know, if it's anything, it'd be a weed container, you know, something for cannabis. Okay, but what's so specific about this that really drives a need for it? You know, I mean, what is it that people can't live without? Why is that, you know, why is it awesome? And it looked really lame. I just think there's times where people just don't get it. And, but then there's times maybe I'm just the one who's not getting it. I've been wrong. I think sometimes I see something, I think, wow, that's incredible. That's going to be awesome. And then I never hear or see it again. And then other times, well, you saw the Snuggie. I thought the Snuggie was silly. And the Snuggie sold millions and millions. So who knows? Let the market tell you what wins and what loses.
It's very true. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was a kid, I remember hanging out with my friend in his backyard, and he had Frisbees. And we were throwing them back and forth, and he laid out two garbage pails, and we were just trying to throw the Frisbees in the garbage pail. Now, flash forward, like, say, 20, 25 years, there's a game out called Can Jam, which involves throwing Frisbees into a pail.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No, and it can be something that's simple and catchy, something they think is silly. You know, sometimes there's real sophisticated things as well. You know, my most downloaded episode was for Canna Dips. And essentially, this guy was growing weed in California when it was illegal, right? And or cannabis, sorry, in California when it was illegal. And then it's become legal and he's gone through the process. But essentially, it's kind of like chewing tobacco. And he put, there's a system, I guess somehow he figured out a way that you can put a dip in and you can enjoy the chew while you're getting high, right? But it's different. It acts different. First of all, if you smoke anything, it's really hard for your lungs because you're inhaling the actual smoke. I would never say to anybody, smoke anything at any time. But that being said, if you're going to consume cannabis, you'd rather do it in a different manner. So most people do is they'll use edibles. But here's what's wrong with edibles. It takes like an hour to 2 hours to work, right? So this guy's got it. So it takes like 15 minutes. But the entire... I can't really figure out why his episode's so popular, but essentially he says that the cannabis, the regulation is just actually bankrupting a lot of people in California because it's just absurd, right? But then he also has a version that has CBD in it, and there's no regulation for CBD, none. And so they're making piles of it, and they're just like totally, even they're outsourcing it. They're actually having it done like... In Las Vegas, it's being manufactured using their technology, but it's like, wow, you know, you start and it's a gold mine. And that's how sometimes the stories are. Somebody has, they're going down this path in one way, and then all of a sudden it has a better use for somewhere else, and or something happens, and it's just like the world opens up to them. That's what I love about the invention story. You don't know where it's going, you know, and it's amazing. But what was disheartening, I'll give you one of the things that was disheartening. And I just interviewed this woman, and she has a product. I won't say which one it is. And she had a great interview, and she's fun loving. And she's saying she's got it in this place and that place, and she's doing real well. And then when she's done and we're done recording, she says, you know, this has been such a great journey. I've loved every minute of it. And I know that I'm never going to make my original investment back, but it's been a blast. And I was like, wow. I mean, I think it's okay to put yourself into something, but I could have sworn you were making money. I think there's a lot of inventors who just, no matter what, even if they seem successful, they're not actually making any money. They're losing money or they lost money. You know, if you're going to put something in a store, you've got to build up enough so that that store can make money. You've got to pay for the right packaging. I mean, there's been story after story. Somebody's done, you know, the packaging has been wrong and they've had to repackage and it cost them $60,000 or just absurd amounts. Because sometimes these stores need you to order a lot just to be in the stores. And there's a lot of great stories. I mean, you got to listen to the podcast. No.
Very true. Now, since we're talking about investing money and inventions, you know, I guess we really couldn't go through this interview without talking about the TV show Shark Tank.
Love it.
Now, is that a real representation on how to promote an invention, or is it kind of a little dressed up for reality TV?
Well, I've talked to a number of people who have been on Shark Tank before they were on Shark Tank, and I've interviewed people who've been on after Shark Tank, and you know it's been a boom for them. Whether they've been successful or not, I mean, just because they weren't successful, maybe even got made fun of by Mr. Wonderful, who tells them to take it out behind the barn and shoot it. The thing is, you're really looking at five people who didn't like it. There's millions of people and there's lots of people with deep pockets looking to invest. But even more than that, when every time it shows in syndication, they get huge bumps in their sales. I mean, they actually know when it's on based on the traffic they're getting to their website. It's a fantastic way. I'll say this, not all the people who have made deals on Shark Tank actually, I've talked to a couple who said, you know, right after the camera stopped filming, they just decided it wasn't going to work and they went their own separate ways, but that's okay. It's a great format. And if you're an inventor, if you're an entrepreneur and you can get yourself on Shark Tank, do it.
A lot of those people seem to like already have their foot in the door though. I've noticed, cause they'll usually say, well, how have you promoted the product? How many have you sold so far? And you know, they're not at the very initial steps of the invention. They're kind of you know, they're into it where they're the sharks are going to kind of push them to the end. Is that, would that be?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, well, there's a product life cycle. Usually you have like the infancy and then almost like a kid, you know, who's a teenager, and you kind of want them around the teen, you know, once they've kind of got the lift and there's a lot of potential, that's when they like to invest. You've seen some where they, you know, they peaked out in 2012 and they're trying to get them to help them with their second life. And that's not where they're looking, but, yeah, they want proof of concept. I would have to say the best thing, I get a little bit turned off by the obnoxiousness of the sharks, but, other than that, I think what's really great is they're always reinforcing the fact that you better know your numbers. What does it cost you to make it? What are you selling it for? What are your margins? What's the shipping, you know, in and out, you know, how long is it going to take to get there? So I think it's a really valuable, I think it's also great because it inspires people who are watching to create or invent or become an entrepreneur instead of, you know, using drugs or being destructive and, you know, tearing up the household or stealing or whatever. You know, I'm always trying to encourage, you know, the younger generation. Hey, you know what? I know you're bored because you got everything at the on your fingertips with your cell phones that can answer questions that you don't even have to actually type in anymore. But you know, I don't know how we're going to inspire these kids, but maybe, you know, they watch shows like Shark Tank. Maybe that'll do it. Maybe they'll listen to the Invention Stories podcast. Maybe they'll see somebody who's inventing and that'll inspire them. I love it when like a parent creates or invents with their child. I think that's a beautiful thing because even, you know, even if they fail, they had that time, and that may be the most special time that they both have in their lives, and they'll always have that forever. And you never know the effect that you're going to have on somebody, but you know the effect it's going to be if you don't do something, you know? So if you're an inventor, you got to try. Yeah, go for it.
You were talking about...
Just don't mortgage the house.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you were talking about obsolescence before. Yeah. You know, and with today's technology, you know, I guess an inventor also has to really be very mindful of that, right? You know, they can come up with something and, you know, there's already an app on someone's phone that can do that and faster and better.
Yeah, they're doing it for free. I mean, just ask the Encyclopedia Britannica. But... yeah, absolutely. Or somebody else could come up with something better. You know, when I was looking for a website that would share the invention stories, I kept thinking in my head, I wrote them down. What is the best name for invention stories? You know, okay, you got inventionstories.com. Inventor stories? No, that's two S's in a row. You know what? I can't think of a second one. I'm not even worried that somebody could come up with a better name than the inventionstories.com, you know, it's or inventionstories.com. And I think that's, I don't know, if you're going to spend that kind of dough and that kind of money and it's going to take that long and consume that much of your life and you're going to sacrifice this and that, you better be sure that somebody else is going to come by and or something's going to come by and make it, render it obsolete, you know, because I've seen that. I've seen somebody create something and then watch something that's even better. And I'm like, I don't have the heart to tell you, buddy, but you need to, I don't know, sell what you got, move on.
Time to cut the losses, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of fun ones. I did want to create a castle. Guys figured out how to build sandcastles in the sand. He's all over the place now. He's on other podcasts and he's on QVC every other day now. And I mean, what a great thing to do. You see, the way you promote it is you go down to the beach and you build these gigantic sandcastles. You do it easy. You look cool. Everybody's looking at them. I mean, I think that's wonderful because maybe some kid was with his son and comes up on this guy that's building these. And he says, his son says, "Dad, what's he doing over there?" And he says, "Yeah, he's working. He's doing his job." And the little kid goes, "Yeah, Dad, I want a job like that, you know?" And you can do that, man. You know, I think we're in the future, it's going to be harder and harder to make a living and jobs are going to be outsourced and replaced by machines and technology. And it's going to be more and more challenging. So if you've got an idea, you got your own thing, you should try to do it because, you know, somebody else can't take it away. I mean, it can be rendered obsolete, but you know, you owe it to yourself. But I think I think at the end of the day, there's only one time that matters in your life. I do. And I think it's that when you're dying and you're getting ready to take that last breath, and you know, whenever it is, unless of course, you know, something else happens and you don't get a chance, but maybe, you know, the end is there. And at that point, when you're laying there ready to go into that next world, it's like, you don't want to have regrets. You know, it's like, why didn't I? I always had this idea. And I hear people tell me that, you know, I had this idea, but I didn't do anything about it. Dude, that's a regret, man. I don't want those. And that's all I got.
Okay. Well, you know, since this is a podcast about podcasts, I'm sure there are probably some that you'd like to listen to that maybe you would like to recommend to some of our listeners.
Well, like I said before, I like Alan Beckley's Inventors Helping Inventors podcast. I know it's similar to mine. It seems weird to promote something that's so similar to mine, but I think that's a good one. And I'm a fan of Business Wars. I think the only thing I don't like about Business Wars is that, I mean, it has great quality and everything, but it seems to have like commercials every 5 minutes. You know, I've had a lot of opportunities to put commercials into my podcast, and I refuse. I just, you know what, man, you ruined so much of our lives with jamming commercials and advertisements down our throat. Every time I turn on my computer, something's following me that I looked at, you know, and it's, you know what? And people are like, yes, well, you need to do this just because they used to do it and like that in radio. But I'm like, you know what? I'm telling the invention story and I'm doing it without a commercial in it. So I hate commercials and, in podcasts myself. I don't listen to them. I don't know who promotes or who's the sponsor of Business Wars. All I know is when I hear it, I grab my phone and I click through it each time and I almost like, you know, crash my car doing it. But I'm not supporting it. I'm not listening to it. I just want it to be, you know, I want the story to continue.
Sure. Okay. And we have a part in our show where you get to let our listeners know where they can contact you. Oh, and
of course, too many podcasts. Of course, too many podcasts. Yes, too many podcasts. And, you know, I really like the one you had with Andrew Apple Kreider. Dude's 20 years old and is 10 times the genius that I'll ever think to be, but go ahead.
You and me both, my friend, so.
Wow.
Shameless self-promotion.
Okay, so we have a portion called Shameless Self-Promotion. This is where you have the mic, and you can tell our listeners where they can get in touch with you or anything else that you'd like to let them know about.
All right. Yeah, we invite you to listen to the Invention Stories podcast. You can find it everywhere, iTunes, whatever you listen to it. And you can reach me at inventionstoriespodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. Was there, and I know you said that you belong to an inventor's Facebook group as well.
You know, I belong to several groups, but I am the moderator of the One Pitch with Jared and Karina. And I've interviewed a number of people who've been in the group, and I try to push them to the front of the wait list. I'd have to say the downside of being successful is that we actually have 51 inventors waiting to be interviewed, and it's weird to tell somebody that they got to wait till 2021 to be interviewed. They don't always take it well. In addition, I just get hammered usually every day or every week by these PR reps and by administrative assistants, and I get emails from people. They have nothing to do with inventing, and they just want to be on podcasts. They want to spread the word. And I'm like, but wait, I know that, you know, you're a big successful inventor, but have you invented anything? They want to make the case that they're inventors. You know, if you have to make the case, I don't want to have you on. Besides, I already have a ton of people who really did make products. I want to interview first.
Absolutely. All right, folks. Well, you've been listening to Mr. Robert Baer, and he is the host of Invention Stories. So, and what days are your, does your show break new episodes?
Actually, we do it every other Wednesday. We make available a new episode of the Invention Stories podcast. Doesn't have a nice ring. The Invention Stories podcast.
See, that's your invention.
There you go.
All right, Mr. Baer.
I just want to say one last thing, and sure. I'll tell you what my goal is at the very end of all this, and I feel like I'm making progress. I feel like there's a great path, a smart path for every person who's got an idea to get it like into the market. And if I can really work with all these manufacturers, I'm going to start to do that next year. All these different companies that are looking for inventors, I really want to get a good relationship with them and truly understand what they want. So, and really get that filtered down into inventors who are trying things, because I hate to see inventors waste their time and money. I mean, it's great that they're involved in something, but at the end of the day, I want them to be successful. Sure. And because, you know, there's just too many people out there doing jobs that they hate when they've got an idea for an invention. And the reason that they don't is probably the reason that I gave up on my dream, is because the odds were too long. And we've got to do something about that. And I'm grateful for shows like in Shark Tank and The Profit and all these other things. But we got to get the success rate higher from 2% or 3% to, you know, 20 to 30%. I get it that, you know, we're never going to get 100% or 50% people who have ideas and, you know, make them successful. But it sure as heck shouldn't be 2 to 3%. You know what I mean?
I guess that'll be your next life's mission, right? To boost up that percentage?
That's what I'm aiming for the rest of my life. Yes.
Well, you're doing a great job. And Robert's podcast is actually one of the top rated invention podcasts on iTunes. So, Mr. Bear, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Jim.
And now it's time for Sherpa Suggestions.
If you like Robert's podcast, that's a great place to start. But here's a few other podcasts that you might want to check out that have to do with inventors, inventing, and inventions. We have Sharkpreneur, and that has Kevin Harrington, who was one of the original hosts on Shark Tank. And there's also Patenting for Investors and the Investors Launchpad Network, the podcast Invention, which stars Robert Lamb, who will give you the backstory on a lot of famous inventions in history. And also, there's Snark Tank. Hey, maybe one of these podcasts will get me to finally market my secret greatest invention yet. Lasagna in a spray can. Hey, thanks so much for dropping by the Sherpa Chalet and listening to Too Many Podcasts. You know, you can listen to the show on just about every podcast app that's around. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Spotify. And if you're listening to TuneIn, you can hear this show through an Alexa speaker. And also, if you're listening to this show through Podcoin, you can actually earn a little bit of money while you're listening to podcasts. Wow, so many choices. And a special thanks to Robert Bear for coming by today and filling us in about inventions. Be sure to check out his podcast, Invention Stories. And don't forget, you can follow me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Hope you guys have a great week. And until next time, like we Sherpas like to say, wonder if Bruce can invent an elevator that'll go down this mountain. Well, in the meantime, Bruce, please show them the door. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Chapelition. Viva la Chapelition. Oh. Yell, come back now, you hear?